This is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. It's so interesting to me how sometimes an interview can turn a different direction from my original outline. When I recently interviewed Turner Classic Movies presenter and author Dave Karger, we took a pivot from our original idea, and I relished the moments that followed. In part one of that conversation, which aired last week, Dave and I spoke about the new Spotlight series that TCM have launched on the great film composers. But suddenly, I felt compelled to encourage Dave to speak about himself. And what happened then was the remarkable sharing of a gracious man. Besides his recent book, 50 Oscar Nights, he has had considerable success as an entertainment journalist and, of course, as a contributor on NBC, multiple red carpet events, and as a presenter at TCM. He leads with an air of distinction in that seriously nice guy arena. So let's pick up with Dave as he speaks about his journey to where he is now by way of his years at Entertainment Weekly. The music you have been hearing in both of these interviews was Dave's choice. It is the music that captured his attention when he fell in love with classic film. The theme from the film Laura, starring Gene Tierney, with a memorable score by David Raxon. Dave, what an incredible journey you've had combining music, journalism, and television presenting. Tell me, was there a cathartic moment when you just knew this was going to be your life path? For instance, when you were at Entertainment Weekly.
That was the big moment. When I did that internship, I felt like not only could I fit in with all these people, but I know I can thrive here. Mm-hmm. This is a place where I know I can contribute. Mm-hmm. And I know I can be an invaluable member of this family. And when I got the job as an editorial assistant, and I worked for this wonderful guy that I'm sure some of your viewers and listeners will be familiar with, a guy named Mark Harris, who mm-hmm. is now a fabulous author. He wrote the Mike Nichols biography. He wrote a book called Five Came Back about Frank Capra and John Ford, the filmmakers that went to World War II and came back. He wrote a book called Pictures of the Revolution, which looked at Bonnie and Clyde and The Graduate and Dr. Dolittle and all the Best Picture nominees in 1967. So he was my boss. He was the editor of the movie section at the time. I mean, what an incredible experience I had to work under someone like him, wow, as brilliant as he is, for the first 2 years. But I learned at Entertainment Weekly, and this is the way it is at so many jobs in the arts world, or not even in the arts world, in order to move up and get that promotion, you basically have to be doing the job of the person above, of the level above you, even though that's not the title you have. And then once you've been doing that for a while, then the bosses say, oh, he can handle the next level up because he's basically been doing it. So that's what I kept trying to do. The title above editorial assistant was correspondent. So I made sure that I was pitching enough articles and little items so that my name was in the magazine as often as the correspondents' names were. And then I got promoted to correspondent and got promoted to staff writer and then senior writer, and also kind of developed this expertise in the Oscars and pop music. Those were my two main beats. Right. So I was also covering Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC because it was that time of the kind mm-hmm. of teen movement and right. American Idol.
Right.
So the early years at Entertainment Weekly were the years where I really feel like my confidence grew. And my very first cover story in 1998, I was 25 years old. I couldn't believe they were letting me write a cover story when I was 25, was about the Backstreet Boys. So even though I was in the movie section of the magazine and that was my job, the first cover I got to do was a music cover. So those few years really showed me. And then just getting back real quick to what I was just saying, mm-hmm. beginning the TV side of my career also gave me great confidence because I found that I didn't really get nervous going mm-hmm. on live television. I really enjoyed it. And it was a way to differentiate myself a little bit. I wasn't just a writer for Entertainment Weekly. I wasn't just a print journalist. I was someone who was going on this big network, you know, TV show with millions of viewers and building a name for myself as an expert, if you will, or a commentator, or someone who could provide some insight on what was going on at the Oscars or in the entertainment world in general. So those were big moments for me because I wasn't really sure what I never thought I was going to be on TV. I see my book behind you, which that's so sweet of you. I never thought I would write a book. I mean, there's all of these things that I've gotten to do in my life that I never dreamed that I would ever be able to do. So it's been a fun journey and one that's been very exciting, without a doubt.
But you're walking the walk. I mean, this didn't happen by accident. This is because of your work ethic. And actually, you know, everything you glean from Mark Harris, I mean, you know, that you were in the right place at the right time, Dave Karker. But yeah.
I appreciate that, Pamela. And I also really, it's been very important to me. I've said this before. It's been very important to me to carry myself in my professional life with sensitivity and with compassion. When I was a journalist, I never was someone who wanted to needle somebody or yeah. catch them or do a gotcha kind of thing. That just wasn't for me. I was never someone who wanted to get scoops, which in the entertainment media world, that's what a lot of great people do. And that's they build their careers on breaking this piece of news or getting this first. For me, it was much more about having an in-depth conversation with someone, a creative person who I had a lot of respect for, and just getting them to open up maybe in a way that they hadn't before, creating a situation, an environment where they felt comfortable to share with me maybe things that they hadn't before. And that's carried through from my time at Entertainment Weekly, hopefully, to the time that I spend now on TCM, particularly because I'm interviewing a lot of people later in their life. I really try my hardest to be gentle and to not throw softballs necessarily, but to create a situation, an environment where, as I say, these people can feel comfortable to share.
That is so remarkably fantastic. You know, if every journalist could have this attitude, it would be a happy world, wouldn't it, Dave?
Yeah, but in certain parts of journalism, there's a need for more aggressive journalism, particularly in political journalism, where people's feet need to be held to the fire and being fact-checked in real time and all that. I mean, when I watch people who I respect on CNN and MSNBC, I just can't believe they do what they do. I could never do that. So I definitely found the part of journalism that's right for me and for my personality type, because I'm very non-confrontational. I'm definitely more of a people pleaser. I've found the part of this world that's right for me.
But it is interesting, as an interviewer, if you are just yourself and you open up and give everyone a safe haven, they will open up to you. There have been some times when I've been talking to the particular celebrities and they've said, I don't know why I'm talking like this to you right now, but I just am. And I think that's kind of summing up what I perceive at TCM. And I know going this year to TCM as a member of the press, I absolutely adored the generosity that all of you bring to the table, into the room. Everyone is approachable. All of you presenters are. You're so gracious to everyone. I've never, ever seen a film or music festival quite like that. It's something That's quite great. Precious. And mixed in with that ridiculous sense of humor that Ben Mankiewicz has that is so adorable that we all want to take him home. It's rich.
And it's rare that the five of us get to be together, because we mostly shoot our stuff individually. None of us really live in the same place. I mean, I'm out here in the desert. Ben's in LA. Jacqueline's in Chicago now. Eddie's up in Oakland. Alicia's up in New England. So we're all in these different parts of the country, but a couple times a year, whether it's for the festival or the cruise or some kind of special shoot, we do get to be together, all five of us. And it's so much fun, because we are all so different, but we all just really have a lot of respect for the styles of the other four. So even though we're different and we have our different areas of interest and expertise, there's a lot of respect there. And it's always fun for us to get together.
You can see that. It's very apparent and it's very elastic. And I felt quite safe there. It's a wonderful thing. Tell me this. Do all of you go on the cruise together with all of the guests?
We do. So I've been on three cruises. Of course, the cruise didn't exist for a couple of years during COVID, but I went on the 2019, 2022 and 2023 cruises. Alicia was on all those cruises with me. Eddie and Ben were all, and then Jacqueline just went on her first cruise this past year. Okay. And we're all five going to the next one, which is in October of this year. And that, to me, I love the festival. I really love the cruise.
Really?
The cruise is, yes, the cruise is so much fun. It feels like a family. There's 2,000 of us on this cruise ship that we completely take over. It's a Disney ship, but we kind of brand it all TCM.
Okay.
And there's three or four movies playing at any given time. We bring a half a dozen what we call special guests on the cruise with us. So as I say, we've had Mitzi Gaynor and Diane Ladd and Cicely Tyson, Richard Dreyfuss, all these amazing people, Elliot Gould, Chevy Chase, Lorna Luft, George Chakiris, Kim Novak. And they're able to share, you know, their stories. And you'll like this. I did something fun this past year on the cruise. I did a little hour-long cabaret show, if you will, where I sat at the piano in this little bar area. And I did an hour-long show telling stories about my life and career, playing snippets of scores that I love, like Laura, playing classical pieces that have been featured in movies like W.C. Claire, which was famously cut out of Fantasia. Yeah. So we played the lost animation of the Claire de Lune sequence while I played the piano. We brought up one of the Disney singers on, this lovely young soprano, and she sang When She Loved Me, which is the Randy Newman song from Toy Story 2, about the toy whose owner had kind of let her go. People were crying. So it was so fun for me. That's the thing that's so special about the cruise, is that it's this very intimate collection of TCM employees and fans. And we're able to do things that are, that feel more special and personal just for the people who travel on that boat with us. And it is so much fun.
I love that. I hope you'll be doing that again on this upcoming cruise. I mean, what a treat for all the guests. How close and personal is that? You giving of yourself and your story. And like you say, you're such a people person, Dave, and it's so apparent. That is so beautiful, blending all your worlds together.
It was emotional because I was nervous. I hadn't played piano in a public setting in 30 years. And by the time it was done, I was crying, and the audience was crying, mostly because of this singer who was just so beautiful singing this Randy Newman ceremony song. But just the whole experience doing that was very cathartic for me. And it was like this truly full circle moment, thinking back to when I was 18 and doing all these competitions and recitals, to then being, I'm now 51, not having played for anyone really in decades. It was special. I don't know if I'm doing it this year, because I think this year I'm going to do a presentation about my book, but maybe next year I'll bring the piano show back.
I think that sounds fantastic. You blending all of your worlds together and bringing that beautiful generosity of you into it. Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. I won't miss that cruise. You know, please let me know. You know, I've never been on a cruise in my life. And with all the norovirus and the COVID, I thought, that's it. I'll never be on a boat. You're not going to lock me away, but I would consider it for TCM. I'm telling you, because you guys just have such a good time. And I have good friends who go every year, and they were saying it's so much more special than the festival in Los Angeles. And I find that hard to believe.
Which is great. The festival's great. And it's, and the fans who come to the festival, I would argue, are the most serious when it comes to being true cinephiles. People who come on the cruise also love to watch old movies, and they do. But for them, it's as much about just a vacation. Whereas the festival people, they map out all the five movies they're going to see that day, and they stress over what they're going to see. The cruise is just a little bit more laid back.
I love it. You know, I just interviewed Lois Burwell, who you honored at this year's TCM, the great Academy Award winning makeup artist. And she and I, we were sitting together. It was a fluke. We talked forever. We became friendly. It was wonderful. It was kismet, Dave Carker. It was total kismet. I ended up doing a Zoom interview with her, and she was sharing with me all the little oddities she was finding out about the film festival. For instance, all the people who come who make the buttons, who it's kind of a self-reveal, and they all trade buttons. And she thought that was just delightful. And that just showed me the internal workings of Lois Burwell as being such a kind and wonderful person.
She seemed great. I only got to meet her for a heartbeat, and I didn't do one of her interviews, but everybody who interviewed her or met her or talked to her said she was a delight.
You know what, Dave? It's like you. You got up and you did your work and you proved yourself at Entertainment Weekly and then on to Fandango and NBC and the red carpet and TCM. And look at what you've got now. And I have to say, when I saw the clip of you and Robert Osborne together, I think it's from 2007, when you were talking about Oscar predictions.
Yes.
You were so cute. I mean, really, it was before, I guess, you were really, really carefully pulled together, you know, for in front of the camera, but you were wonderful. And Robert Osborne was always so beautifully delicious in everything. I mean, even when he was not well at the end, You know, I look to him still and the room he was in, everything you created around that aura of TCM in the Robert Osborne years was always so warm.
Without a doubt, he set the tone. And it's a tone that all five of us in our various ways are striving to keep alive. And it's great to have him and all of his work as our North Star.
Yeah.
Because yes, the channel is evolving and the channel is becoming more 21st century because it needs to and it should. Mm-hmm. And I think the discussions that we're having around these films, many of which are 80, 90, 100 years old, have to change now a little bit in 2024. But even though they are, we're doing so in a way that is led first and foremost by respect for this work and an appreciation for it. We're not trying to shame anything or censor anything, but oftentimes we are putting things into context. And right. I think that's very important. But yes, without a doubt, it's Robert who led the way and continues to lead the way and is still so revered and loved by our viewers. So anytime he shows up on the network, and he's been on a lot in the past couple of months, because as you say, we did just have our 30th anniversary.
Yes.
It's very bittersweet, I think, for our longtime viewers because they miss him so much. But I really do hope that our viewers realize that the five of us are trying as best as we can to keep his spirit alive.
You are. You're carrying the torch. And I have to say, Ben Mankiewicz, and again, his wonderful sense of humor and his postings on social media, which are, again, so approachable. I took a moment and went to him one evening at the festival because I had a question for my 92-year-old mother. And she is devoted to TCM. And when I'm with her, we sit and watch TCM all night. We tape everything. We make our choices. And she said, you know, when you go to that festival, I want you to ask Ben why he twirls his ring around when he's presenting a film and it plays with his hands. So I went to him and I said, you know, Ben, my mom wants to know. And he went, give me your phone. And he spoke, he recorded a piece for her for a minute and 30 seconds, right? Where he talked about the difficulties of being a journalist and then coming in front of the camera. And still he doesn't know what to do with those hands. And it's true for all actors and all presenters at one point. He was so gracious. And I told him after that if I did nothing else at that film festival, that was worth it for me. That was worth the whole trip because it was so real and it was so honest. And he addressed her in the recording. Well, I sent that to her, Dave Karger, and it made her year. She's still talking about it. And I plan to do a little story around that and a couple of other little interchanges I had at TCM on one of my radio shows, because that just reveals the paradox of Hollywood. You know, here you guys are doing this great work. You're in front of the camera. You're launching all these fantastic projects. But with TCM, you're still looking back. And with all of us today in this world, the way the world's going and the craziness, we need something to hold on to like that. And I think we're all ready to be prepared to look back a bit for some comfort. And for someone like you, who's been a journalist and worked so hard, you know, you were going ahead and then now you've taken this gig, which is putting you in this beautiful position to see your life out, I think. I mean, I would hope.
Yeah, I want to do this forever. But it's interesting to hear you say that. You've made me realize that the five of us, and I'm not saying this is better or worse than any other way to come at a broadcast career. I'm not judging anyone else. But all five of us came at this kind of sideways. Like, I mean, Eddie was a writer and, you know, had this noir foundation. Jacqueline was a professor and scholar. Alicia was a behind the scenes person in television who then came into on camera. Ben and I were journalists first. So none of the five of us kind of came up in a traditional TV host kind of way. And I think maybe we're not super slick, but I think it also shows that that there's truth and hopefully integrity to why we're doing this, because we're coming at this from a little bit of a different angle than just talking about whatever's put in front of us on a teleprompter. So I really hope that people, I do get the sense that people do appreciate our deep love and respect for what we're talking about.
There's no qu I can tell you honestly, there is no question about that. And from all the people in on the street that I interviewed, it always come it came back to me as just that. Everybody is there and they're with you in spirit. I mean, there is a collective. It's fascinating. And I remember the night I stood in line with everyone else for an hour and a half to go hear Steven Spielberg speak. And before the showing of Close Encounters. It was so interesting. I've heard him speak before. I follow him like crazy. I once had a dream that he and I got married. So there you go for you and your dreams about tunes, all right? And if I ever meet him, I will say, "Did you have that dream too?" Because we missed each other, you know, in the dark. But I remember when he was sitting there talking to Ben Mankiewicz about when he fell in love with the night sky. And I started to think, you know, this is such a great introduction to Close Encounters A, but also it just talked about everybody in that room, because everyone in that room, whether they're looking back or presently, we are all in love with the night sky, which is really the magic of film, of cinema, of dreams, of everything that goes together to make, believe it or not, our history, because that's really what cinema is, you know? And unless we preserve it, it's not going to be there. And I worry about that. And I get excited when I see Martin Scorsese working to preserve. When I went to Made in England about Michael Powell of Powell Pressburger, the film, their films I adore. I live for A Matter of Life and Death, literally. And watching Scorsese just talking to the camera about how he idolized this man and went to meet him, and he was actually poor and resurrected his career. It's so interesting. And so all the work that's going into what you're doing at Turner Classic Movies and Warner Brothers, and this preservation of what is important in our history, in film and in music and song and everything, is what you do. I mean, more power to you. More
Thank
power
you.
to you.
It's why we go to work every day, and we're so happy to have Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, and Paul Thomas Anderson as kind of our, we call them our godfathers now, and they're consultants for us very actively, and coming up with theme ideas and interstitial ideas. A lot of the things that you see on TCM are direct ideas that they've had, and as long as they're around, we know we're in a good place, and hopefully even beyond that. But it's a turbulent time in the TV world now, and
Yeah.
it's been on TCM the last couple of years, but we really do feel like we're in a terrific place right now.
Do you think going forward, you say there are going to be a lot of changes going into the 21st century? I can see that already. And you guys are becoming sexy, and it's not a bad thing. But do you think you're going to be able to retain always this aura of warmth I talk about that Robert Osborne
Absolutely.
introduced?
And yes, and the bread and butter of TCM will always be movies from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. That's going to be mainly what you see on TCM forever. But I do think it's incumbent upon us, as we've been doing for the past 5 years now, to do things like our Reframed series, where we looked at movies that maybe feel a little bit different. I mean, the word problematic gets thrown around, but things that could strike some contemporary viewers as insensitive or difficult to watch, Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's, okay, things like that. Whereas maybe at the beginning of TCM, that would have just played without an intro or comment talking about that, or warning people, or just giving people a little bit of a heads up of what they're going to see. Now we're just being taking a little bit more effort to talk about, and bring out in the open things like this, or doing a gay pride month, or a couple nights of LGBTQ plus pride, which I get to host. Maybe that wouldn't have happened when TCM started, but it's happening now. Juneteenth, or different things that we're bringing to the forefront that are outside the Clark Gable and Humphrey Bogart and Bette Davis world. I think that's wonderful for us to be doing too.
I think it is too. It's as long as you can help us train our perspectives in how we look at these things. And I know as a singer, when I hear criticism or about a song, you know, a Cole Porter song that's politically incorrect, you know, I stand up for it because that's what was. That's what was written. It doesn't
Just
change a
explaining
thing.
it. Yep. Not getting rid of it, not censoring it, just explaining it and giving it some context.
Totally. Wow, Dave Karker, you are one interesting person.
Thank you.
You bring just such joy. I love it. I love it. What is in the future for you outside of the TCM presenting? Is there anything sidelining? Is there another book maybe in the offing?
Hopefully, yes. The first book came out in January, 50 Oscar Nights, which has some songwriters in it as well, Elton John and John Legend and Alan Menken,
Very cool.
talking about the day that they won their Oscars. It's done well, they tell me, and they sold out of the first printing, and there's a second printing happening right now. So I'm still kind of on that book tour, if you will. I have a couple of events that I'm doing this summer and then towards the end of this year. But yeah, the publisher is interested in another book or two. So I'm in the process right now of figuring all that out. And one of them might even have a musical theme, but that's all I can say. But we'll be talking in the future.
I hope so, Dave Karker. And maybe you and I can sit down at some point and do piano four hands and we can sing a little together.
That'd
I
be
would
great.
adore that. And I want to be right there when you do that next show talking about your life around the piano and in music. That is so rich. Listen, thank you for giving me all this time. I really appreciate it. I could talk to you for another hour easily. And I want you to know I only have 25 pages of notes down here about film composers, and we haven't even got there. And you know what? That's just fine. I just want to encourage all my listeners to tune in to TCM and catch the Great Composers Month all of June on every Monday. And that starts in the morning into the evening. And my gosh, you're going to learn a few things about the marriage of cinema and music and how they cooperate and better each other. Dave Karker, thank you so much. Oh,
Thanks, Pamela. Have a good evening.
you're such a joy. And next time you see Elton John, tell him hi for me, okay?
Will.
All right. To all my listeners, I hope you go to tcm.com for more information about everything that is going on. Dave Karker, thank you so much from my heart to yours. If you get a moment, please go to centerstagewithpamelacoon.com for more shows like these as we all aid and abet the arts and keep everything moving in the right direction so we can all share in creative spirit. Stay safe, everyone. This is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is now down on Center Stage.